Welcome to Niche Upon a Star, and this episode is a really interesting one. We're talking this week to Jonathan Wilcock, who has, and I'm not kidding, 40 years of experience in creative industries. He's worked since the 1980s as a freelancer and has worked in advertising agencies, creative agencies. He is a very well-known brand copywriter currently in his current business that's been going 7 years. But he's done loads and loads of other stuff before that. What an interesting guy to talk to. And there's so much depth in this interview because he talks about a number of things that I found interesting. The first was the actual graph that he's put in and his processes for reflecting on his own work, building relationships with clients, dealing with peaks and troughs and fallow periods, being creatively true to himself, marketing his own business, and also just going for a walk by the sea and having a cup of tea and having confidence in yourself. And it's just a wonderful, heartwarming interview. And underneath the warmth, there is also a lot of talent and a lot of experience that's worth paying attention to. So, without further ado, let's get talking to Jonathan Wilcock. If you could go back to the very beginning of your creative career and give yourself some advice, what would you say?
I'd probably say aim high and keep aiming high. I think trusting my gut, that's something that I've had to learn the hard way. I'm very philosophical about this stuff. I think I look back over it. But I mean, this year, I can't believe it, really. This will be my 40th year in the industry or whatever, you know, various creative industries. And all of it, even what seems like the mistakes, actually has played a big role in where I am now. And it's kind of, there's no regrets. And maybe at the time, if I could have done things differently, I might have done. But here I am, I'm still surviving, still smiling. And actually, maybe this is where I need to be. And the route that I got here, as painful as it has been at times, maybe that was all part of the process.
And your business now, how it is today, do you enjoy what you do?
No, I'm really, really, I should never really moan about what I do. I'm really privileged. I'm paid to be creative, paid to come up with ideas. And if I don't feel like working this afternoon, I can go for that stroll. It's really privileged. And generally speaking, some clients can be hard work, but generally speaking, I've got a very good lot.
You've got a positive outlook. Where do you think that comes from?
Genes, I think. Now, my mum and dad. I'm originally from the Midlands, from Derby. I was born and bred in Derby. Yeah, sadly, my mum just passed away just before Christmas, actually. It's been an interesting month. We had our funeral just under a month ago. So I'm still kind of slightly wobbly around the edges, but bearing up. My mum was fantastic. She was a really kind-hearted, generous, patient and loving person. I value patience really highly as one of my kind of values, if you want to call it that, my kind of 10 A's that sort of to live by. I think patience is really important, generally, but certainly in this business, my goodness. They were incredibly encouraging as well. I mean, as a youngster, I was very interested in all sorts of creative outlets. So I was really into music and art and writing and all that sort of stuff. Whatever I put my energies into, my mum and dad would support me.
That's wonderful.
One of my favourite things about sort of like this is how to be a dad. In fact it was Leicester in Montford Hall. Went to see Black Sabbath when I was in. I used to be into rock music when my hair was down to my waist, and we had tickets. There's me and two mates to go and see Black Sabbath at De Montford Hall, and from Derby it's about 40 miles or whatever. So a good old dad gives us a lift to De Montfort Hall to get there in time for the gig, an hour early. And as soon as we got there, I suddenly remembered I'd left my ticket in my bedroom. So Dad left my two mates there, drove me back to Derby, picked up the ticket, drove me to Leicester, then drove home again, then came back to pick us up afterwards and didn't moan once.
Oh, that's lovely that your dad went so far out of his way. You've got a really good grounding, a really solid foundation for being the kind of person that isn't afraid to explore their own sense of creative direction. Your family gave you that. That's wonderful. Can you tell me a bit about the first year you went freelance? And I know that you have done, you've had a number of hats. You've been creative director at an agency that you set up, if I got that right. And then before that, you were working in creative industries. You've been doing your current role as a brand copywriter for the past 7 years, but you've got a lot more experience than that.
Yeah, I mean, freelance, like for a lot of us, I assume, I've been freelance on maybe three or four occasions, and it's always been circumstance. I've never said, right, you know what, I really want to go freelance. It's been redundancy or whatever it might be. Yeah. So the first time I went freelance would have been in about 1987, something like that. And I had a whale of a time. It was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I mean, this is obviously a different era, different time altogether. But this is a good lesson for people. The reason I actually got some work is being a fairly decent person, you make friends. So I've made friends in the agency, and some of them had left. And when I got the push, who should you turn to but those friends that you used to work with? And it's like, oh yeah, I could get you into so-and-so, go and have a chat with them. So you go in, and I had one of the best jobs of my life was I was working on behalf of Harrods and the Spanish government. The Spanish government put on a month of design and fashion at Harrods, showcasing their Spanish talent, designers, furniture designers, lighting designers, whatever it might be. And the job involved not only sitting in the agency coming up with the ideas, but 3 weeks in touring Spain making a TV commercial and press ads, which was amazing.
Sounds like something out of Mad Men. It sounds like too good to be true.
The worst hotel we stayed in was the Ritz in Barcelona.
Right. Yeah. Slumming it.
Yeah, exactly. But we had a fantastic... We were working with a photographer who's... there's always a slight sad edge to what I'm saying at the moment, but he had multiple sclerosis, and he knew he hadn't got long to live. And he was an absolute inspiration. We turned up to the hotel we'd been booked in by the accounts department, and he said, no, this is not good enough. He checked us out, because there was no account director with us at the time. They joined us later. And signed us into, what was it, the Alfonso Treze, which used to be a palace for King Alfonso the 13th in, where were we then, Seville. And it was outrageously posh, you know, at the time. It was probably the equivalent of like £1,000 a night nowadays, sort of. And this guy was, well, I haven't got long to live, so I might as well just have as much fun as possible. We had a wild old time. It was great. So that was my first experience of freelance life. It's a bit different nowadays, but you know. My first day freelance, actually, I'm painting a really good picture of it all. Leading up to that, I was absolutely devastated being made redundant from a job that I absolutely loved, working with a bunch of people that I really got on really well with. So that was a really tough time, actually. But the first day actual proper freelancing was, wow, it was great. Right.
As you continued to develop as a freelancer, what did you learn about yourself, and how did you figure out your sort of, I mean, it's called a niche, but I don't know if that's really what some people refer to it as.
I guess I'm still figuring it out, to be honest. To get to where I am right now has been just a series of fortunate accidents, I guess. When I started as an art director, having studied graphic design and majored in copywriting, somehow or other I ended up as an art director. Actually, no, I started as an art director slash copywriter on my own in an agency, which is really unusual at the time, and until they found me a more senior writer to work with. And then eventually I got to a stage where I could do more of the writing than the copywriters I was working with. In fact, I ended up working with a copywriter who was better at drawing than me, had better visual ideas than I did, and I could write better than he did, and we kind of swapped roles. So I'd always wanted to be a writer, but I'd kind of also really enjoyed going on photo shoots to places like Seville. And so it's just kind of just like stumbling along doing stuff that I like and some stuff that I don't like as well, I guess. And I got to the point where advertising just turned into an area where I just wasn't getting any work anymore. And every time I was full-time and freelance in between, I was doing advertising until I ended up as creative director in a provincial agency. That finished, and then we set up our own agency, me and my absolutely wonderful business partner at the time. And we were both from a sort of marketing, advertising kind of background, but we ended up doing lots of brand stuff, lots of design. So I was massively out of my comfort zone at that point, but we did that for about 14 years, and I just learned through on the job, basically, just making up as I was going along, but I learned how to run brand workshops and the process of turning a client's idea into a brand. Not setting out to do that, but it's kind of like you just get on with it, and I learned it and I enjoyed it, and I found that the advertising world has changed so much that not only do I not get that work, I don't really want that work anymore. It's a very different beast. And I think my experience of working with design clients, often design agencies, is really, really positive. And it's really given me a new lease of life. It's a whole new career. So for the last 7 years, I've been taking that previous 14 years of experience learning about brand, and I've now given myself the label of brand language copywriter, really. I'm still doing the same stuff I always have, come up with ideas and then write the words to fit with those ideas, but if it's a niche, that's what it is. It's for branding and design rather than advertising. So I found myself more and more doing kind of positioning work and trying to work out what the tone of voice is, not just the ideas and the words. And it's like, you know what, I really love this. So, sorry, I'm not a copywriter anymore. I'm a brand language copywriter, whatever that is. And people seem to believe me. And I almost do as well now. So there you go. Yeah, I stumbled into everything.
I'm going to challenge you, I think, a little bit now. What about when stuff doesn't go your way? What about when there aren't enough clients or there isn't enough money coming in?
We all have wobbly moments. Sometimes it's like I'll get a wave of, oh my, the client hates it or whatever. But that doesn't last very long nowadays, whereas before I would have worried. Now I think, well, okay, there's only one thing that I can do. There's two things I can do. One is stick my fingers in my ear and go, la, 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 and pretend it doesn't happen. And the other one is pick up the phone and have a chat and say, okay, what do we need to do to make this work?
Yeah.
You know, there's two things that we probably all suffer from. It's like, was that my last idea? Am I ever going to, you know, like you say, self-doubt, because I'm as rubbish as I am good, depending on how rubbish or good I feel I am. And is that my last job? Yeah, because I have no proof other than historical that actually people do ring and people do knock on the door. So once I get over myself and over that fear, which lasts, you know, milliseconds now instead of days, it's like, oh yeah, of course, yeah, I've been through this before, haven't I?
Yeah.
And somebody will get in touch. And if they don't get in touch, I've got various tactics to get, get me through this, and it'll either be getting in touch with them, switching off and just having a bit of fun, or it'll be work on my own thing. You know, my blog's relatively active, and yeah, updating my case studies or coming up with daft ideas for social media or whatever it might be. So yeah, it's having gone through crappy times lots of times, you learn survival techniques. But I think one thing that I've noticed about, and I find that a little bit sad, is because even though in my early days as a creative, I was a beer animal with everybody else, because that was the agency culture. But besides that, I've always been prepared to really dig in. You know, we'd do 3 o'clock in the morning pitch, to creative, whatever it is, brainstorming, and work hard. And I've had conversations with, and I think it might be a generational thing. I don't know, it might be me seeing the world through an old man's eyes, I'm not quite sure, but it seems there is a lot of people that expect this journey of being a freelance copywriter or a creative to be, lots of fun and not put the graft in. And I've written a blog post about this. There was a copywriter younger than me, but not a youngster, but younger than me, trying to get into the industry. And he was horrified after a while. I was basically saying, look, if you're really struggling, set yourself briefs. You need to be able to show, you've got work that you're showing people that you're not proud of, because you're just getting crappy work from crappy clients without budgets, which is fine. It helps pay the bills, and we've all done it, and I still do it. But if you're not proud of your work, do something that you're really proud of so you can show off and believe in it. And it's like, do I have to? It's like, well, yes, you do, I'm afraid. It's really competitive.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that have done, their 6-month copywriting course, and they've bought 2 or 3 books, and they can't understand why it's not happening for them. It's because it's a really competitive industry, and there are lots of really good people at it, and you're going to have to compete with them. And if you're not prepared to do that, not wishing to sound harsh, but maybe it's not the industry for you. Maybe there's something that's better suited to you, and probably you'd be better at.
I think for some people, if they dive straight in as a copywriter, it can feel vertiginous, can't it? Whereas if you've had a decade in an agency sharpening your teeth, you know when you're leaving as a freelancer what's expected client side, and it means that you have a bit more nous maybe than somebody who's just stepped from an English degree into an environment they don't understand. And I think there is a misconception as well among some people that freelance copywriting is easy, fun, glamorous. And the truth is, it is some of those things some of the time, but a lot of the time as well, you've got to graft. And only through grafting and making horrible, awful mistakes can you have the humility to keep going and understand, the process that clients expect, but also from yourself, the self-doubt and need to keep going and re-examine your own work and keep pushing yourself. And it is hard work. It is nice to have a tea break by the seaside, but it's also very important to have a really kind of honest relationship with yourself and your own work, which it sounds like you've got. And it served you.
I'll say that tea break in the middle of the day may well be part of a 12-hour working day,
Exactly.
I now work harder than I did when I was 20. And it's not because I don't think it's because I have to, other than I'm compelled to, and I really enjoy it. And if I want to get better, because I'm still trying to get better as a writer, and I think that's really important. I know a lot more than I knew then, whenever then was, but there's still an awful lot more to know. Or there's craftspersonship, that's probably the politically correct way of putting it, craftsmanship that I can learn, at the time building and growing all the time. Yeah. And I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it. Right. And one thing you just said there I think is really important. If you've got the opportunity as a wannabe copywriter, if you can get a role in an agency, even if it's not one of the top brilliant ones, there'll be people there that you can learn from, because it must be really hard just doing it yourself.
That's right.
Listening to podcasts like this, or having people that are by your side saying, oh, what about this? Have you thought about that? What if you put that sentence at the top? Oh, never thought of that.
You're going to make me want to go and work back at an agency now at this rate.
Yeah, I say that. I wouldn't go back, but I'm glad I was there in the first place.
Me too.
I've probably had, half a dozen full-time jobs in agencies with people that have got so much more experience than me. And, thank you to them as well. So, decent trousers, nice parents, good work colleagues and friends, all adds up.
And that's what you need. You need good parents, good colleagues and good trousers. What a fantastic interview. I hope that you found it useful. And if you're enjoying this series so far, check us out on Instagram at joe_millet, which is where I'm sharing loads and loads of stuff now about marketing. You can also download some of my books, which are available on my website at leancontent.co.uk/book. And if you're enjoying this podcast, chuck us a like. It doesn't hurt. And I'll see you next week. Bye.